how can I stop relying on people who have everything in their heads? And they shouldn't have it in their heads anyways, right? I want to put new stuff in their heads, strategic stuff in their head, new analysis. And so how do we extract that knowledge? Yeah. We systemize it, we capture it, we drive our business and try to automate as much as possible with it.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
I'm excited. So Joel is the founder and consulting person about Pure Procurement. We kind of had the chance to work together on several other things, but you know, I think your story and how you got to where you are is very interesting. So I would love you to tell more about it, but also you run a bunch of other social presence and newsletter, and you're a big voice in the space of procurement. So again, thank you for joining.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, to answer your question on background, so I've been in procurement technology or procurement tech space for the last dozen years or so. So right out of school, I did a bachelor's in IT and business management and started implementing SAP systems with a big consulting firm, right? As one does coming out of school, and did SAP MM when SAP bought Ariba in 2012, started implementing Ariba systems as well and helped grow the practice and eventually led the source to pay practice in Canada for the SAP practice in the firm I was working with. And yeah, you know, eventually left on my own about 5 years ago, a solo consulting practice, just to be able to keep broadening those horizons. So to get more exposure to solutions like GEP, iValua, Coupa, and the source to base suites that sit on top of those ERPs, and then other pure play solutions such as Tonkian and everything, everybody else who's playing in the different verticals in that procurement value chain, right? So whether it be spend analysis, sourcing, contract management, purchasing, supplier relationship management, or supplier portal, supplier networks. Like the past 12 years, I always try to thread the needle from one project to the other to see, to try to get as much breadth and depth as possible in that value chain. So that's kind of my story and the objective that's driven, or the story that drives everything that I do.
That's awesome. Let's spend a few minutes on the core and pure procurement work and the things you guys are doing. And there's a newsletter that you're running, and there's a lot of, you know, I see you on LinkedIn a lot and getting a lot of traction. And maybe talk about it, if you don't mind, from the lenses too of the procurement tech golden age that I feel, you know, kind of happening right now. It's always feel like the enterprise, there's like, it's in waves. It's like 5 years is the HR golden age, and then this. And it definitely feels like procurement getting a lot of love right now. So maybe, you know, maybe if you don't mind, why do you think that is, and how this connects with the stuff you guys are doing?
Sure. And just to further your analogy, I think the waves come back. It's a cycle as well. So we saw one like in the early 2000s, and now we're seeing a new one. But this one's really different in the sense that, you know, the last tally I saw of solutions out there, procure tech solutions that are available on the market, I think we're upwards of 430 different solution providers. So it's crazy, the explosion of different companies and solutions that have come out on the market and just in the last couple of years to help procurement get to achieve their business objectives, essentially. So from a business standpoint, I think our businesses, whether big or small, are asking more and more of procurement. So they're asking to help mitigate risk. They're asking to help stimulate innovation. They're asking to meet diversity objectives, sustainability objectives, all while making sure the trains run on time from an operations standpoint and in direct procurement as well. So trying to get the most value and savings for money. So I think that pressure on the business has mirrored itself on the software market, in the sense where companies are asking the software market for things that, you know, don't exist or didn't exist a few years ago. And so we're seeing all these offerings pop up. And from my point of view, you know, starting posting on regularly on social networks and putting the Pure Procurement newsletter together, was trying to help folks navigate. So help procurement professionals navigate this brave new world, right? Of, you know, you used to have to pick between two or three solutions, and that's all that was available for procurement, to a complete paradigm shift where we've got over 400 solutions and you can't analyze them all. Not all of them are good for you. And so you need to change your approach, right? And so I'm really all about trying to coach procurement professionals around that approach, around developing their digital literacy and not having to rely on IT all the time, but also, you know, encouraging that partnership between IT and procurement as much as possible. Because to me, the procurement organization of the future is digital first, meaning that, you know, you're not designing a process without considering technology there in the first place, and you're designing with technology in the picture, you're developing skills of your people so that they're all technology literate, as I was mentioning. So it's really about around having that digital first mindset within all the levels of your procurement organizations, and then executing on that with a roadmap, with a vision, with, you know, a set of capabilities that you need to achieve your objectives. And then technology comes and enables and facilitates those capabilities that ultimately allow you to perform at a much higher level as an organization.
And you mentioned what I find always like funny or intriguing is, especially, you know, being in the tech industry and always thinking, okay, where is the world going to, how do we improve? And you look at stuff like AI, obviously has been creating a lot of waves in the last year or so, with new capabilities, you know, with large language models and so on. But then the dissonance for me is that, and I don't know if it's a phrase, but it should be a phrase, that the enterprise world really just end up running on the Oracles and the SAPs and so on and so forth. Like, you come to the actual day-to-day and you talk about digital mindset and, you know, and digital transformation as a concept is something that's been around for a while. What's the reality of it though? How do you kind of reconcile the progress in one hand to where the market is actually at?
Yeah, in operations, it's a great question, right? So, because I think you're right. Like, if you go into any organization today, or most organizations, unless you're starting a new manufacturing company from scratch, and there you're starting digital first, you have this technological and people baggage, right? So like, you have your senior category managers, you have your directors, and they don't have that digital background, that digital mindset first, right? And so for me, like, the big dichotomy, or the big thing that for me from big firms didn't work for me, at least when I connected with folks in operations, was like the procurement transformation, right? The 2-year program, $10, $20 million that's going to flip you from zero to hero, right? That to me, sometimes you need to do that, right? But most of the time, I think the other piece is incremental, ruthless incremental progress with your team in operations, right? Because you're running the ship. You have to deal with all the fires that you have to extinguish from day to day, and you want to get better over time. So to me, it's really implementing that continuous improvement and continuous learning mindset with your procurement team, and then chasing that hard as you deliver on operations, right? So it's not something you're going to do once, you're going to put a lot of money and effort into, and it's going to be done. Really a mindset. And so it takes a long time, right? It takes 5-10 years to start crafting a vision and a roadmap, and then to execute on it, you know, over a reasonable time frame, and to actually adopt those new mindsets, those new behaviors at the organizational level, right? And when I say 5-10 years, I'm thinking like enterprise space, right? It could be quicker if you're a smaller company. But it's really like the hardest part of digital first and of digital transformation and of operating digitally is the people, right? It's the knowledge and the reflexes of, you know, thinking about master data quality, which is often something that comes and trips us up, right? Thinking about, you know, business processes and how we marry that with technology. So it's all these domains of knowledge that are not specific to procurement or any other business function, because the same dynamic applies there. There is some specificities in procurement, but largely it's the same dynamic where I have these people that have 10, 20, 30 years experience, and I'm asking them to change the way they think. And that's a hard thing to do. So it's really about the culture of continuous improvement, continuous learning.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin's process experience platform seamlessly wraps around existing policies and systems, allowing internal service teams to do more with what they already have. Build process experiences that are personalized for each requester, and use AI to automate the intake, triage, and resolution of every request. Maximize adoption, compliance, and efficiency with no change management and no code.
If I need to extract some, you know, tactical advice on that, because I think naturally someone listening in right now, right, they're thinking, they are on the mindset of, I want to improve. I want to make things better. I think there's you know, we talked about the cycles. You mentioned the cycle. I'm thinking a lot of why cycle exists, right? Why can you just continually improve all the time? And there's something to say about what you just mentioned with the mindset and culture, right? Sometimes you need to forget in order to, you know, want it again, or maybe there's a change of guards, or maybe there's stagnation in a certain level, then you need to kind of like really reestablished your footings before you can do the next iteration. There's like multiple ways to think about it. But I think
like macroeconomic conditions that come in play,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's timing of the externalities as well. When I'm thinking about if you to kind of isolate actionable things for people that do want to kind of make that change and make that transformation, where do you start? Like, what is the pivotal thing that you see that makes like a digital transformation in procurement or in general successful versus not, because so many of them are unsuccessful?
Yeah. So let's get real tactical, right? Like, I'm going to take the huge transformation program with like an external firm and I'm going to park it over here. I'm not even going to discuss that. So you're alone with your team and yourself and you want to get better at digital transformation. I would start by listing out a bunch of like, what are your business objectives? Is it savings? Is it innovation? Is it risk management, et cetera? And then what are the capabilities that you need to be able to do that? So you need to be able to run X amount of sourcing events per year, per month, what have you. You need to be able to, you know, if you want to cover all your categories, for example, in category management, right? So list out some capabilities that, you want to have as an organization to be able to execute on your objectives. And then I would separate those out into small manageable pieces, right? And I'd assign them to folks in my team, right? I'd say, as part of your objectives this year, I want you to own the supplier onboarding process, right? I want you to make that better. And then that person, not only can they, you know, you need to get either a training budget or, you know, get them facilitate access to free stuff on the web on those topics as well, because it exists, it's out there. And then I'd say, okay, and I want you to present back to the rest of the team on your learnings. And then from there, let's brainstorm together. Even either you have a small continuous improvement team or each stream builds its own little team of people that are excited to work on optimizing that process, right? And often it'll be the people who suffer the most from an inefficient process and operations that want to get involved, right? So I would democratize it that way. And then, yeah, you just enable them, right? You enable them with training and then they have to come back and present, you know, a solution. People poke holes through it. So I call them like rent teaming sessions where you poke holes through the solution. What about thinking of it this way? Have you looked at technology? And then if you want to augment that to another level, you got someone like myself or someone, you know, consultants in the space that can feed you information, knowledge, demos from solution providers to just keep expanding your vision of the art of the possible, right? And as you connect the dots between different things, whether it's business process, you know, competencies that people need to have from a training standpoint or systems, and you marry those together, you're going to have a target state, right? And then you can piece that out. And just like Stephen Covey is getting things done, right? Like, what are the next steps that you need to do? And you do it piece by piece and you iterate. You make a pilot with one of your plants or with one of your business units. You see how it goes. If it goes well, great, all in, let's deploy it to everybody. Doesn't work, okay, let's go back to the drawing board, right? So very much a small bets, continuous improvement and challenging folks to own a subject that they don't know much about at the outset. So those are the types of things I would say.
So agency for people that they want to kind of push for the transformation and support them, but then iteration and continuous improvement kind of methodologies.
Yeah. And one thing I love about, you know, getting educated on like change management, these meta skills that are mainly based on IT, but are really applicable to just continuous improvement in general. So like change management, especially like the ProSci methodology and certification. I go look at the software development lifecycle, right? So design, build, test, deploy, and run. And just getting into that mindset of how does IT develop and deploy applications from both a technical and human perspective, and then applying that to business processes, right? Business process management, how do I design a workflow or a swim lane diagram? And then how do I get everyone roles and responsibility charts so that everybody knows what they need to do and run training, but doing it at a small scale, as small a scale as possible, so that, you know, you get a snowball essentially in place, right? You pack it real tight with a new initiative. And then as you get the ball rolling, the momentum goes by itself, right? And it goes back to what we were saying at the outset around culture, right? Like challenging everybody to say, you're going to know something you didn't know at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, and it's going to involve a new process, technology, new skills, and you need to get comfortable with that.
And I think it also connects to, you know, the broader concept of what is the role of procurement specifically in this case, or, you know, something that I see true for operation leaders in general, but there's all this chatter all the time. It's always happening. There's a new technology, and then the reaction of the media and the discourse is, oh, this is going to take away jobs. And I think, you know, it definitely is going to take away jobs to be done. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to take away people, you know, life work. And I think that it does come with change, and that's what people are having the allergic reaction to. But I think the something we've talked a lot about and have a lot of people give perspective on is really that concept that you, and I think it's applying to procurement leaders too, you really should start looking at yourself more of as a product sort of leader, because everything is a product now.
Procurement as a service.
Yeah, exactly. If you have clients and they had needs and you need to create efficiency and you need to find the best way for them to, you know, adopt your product and process, and you need to have the turnaround. Like, this is stuff that every business leader really is eventually serving some other business function, whether you're serving the end customer or whether you're serving an internal team that is serving the end customer. It's all this ecosystem in economy of entities, of companies, and then within a company, you know, ecosystem and economy of departments and teams. And so at the end of the day, I would say that operational people are product people that just don't know it yet. I think something like that is true for procurement too. So how do you feel like when you look at, you know, where the procurement teams that you've seen, how hungry or, you know, ready they are to take on that new wave of technology and opportunity?
Yeah, so I'm a bit biased because I kind of pick my clients based on that. Like I'll work with you if you have a vision or you're willing to define one and you want to define one and you're excited about technology. And I'm so glad you brought up the fear of losing jobs, because to me, I have like the counter point of view, which is like, if you look at World Bank projections of population, like we're going off a cliff, right? The Western world. Like, I think in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, and I think it broadly applies the same trend to other countries in the Western world, like in 2020, I think a third of our population or 2/3 of our population is in working age, right? So it's between 15 and 65 years old. By 2050, that's going to go down to 1/3. So yes, there's going to be a bit of population growth, but it's not very significant. So like we're flattening out our population growth curves. So let's just, for sake of argument, say we'll have the same population. That means you're going to have half the people working in 2050 that are working today, right? So to me, technology and productivity are an emergency. You better hope that you lose your job, right? Because you want to do strategic stuff. You don't want to have your head stuck in purchase orders and following, you know, chasing confirmation from vendors and backorder products and all that stuff. You want to be thinking about category strategy, looking at all your vendors and going like, are there any one of those that it makes more sense for us to just buy outright the company instead of having them as a supplier, right? You don't have time to do that if you're bogged down in operation. So to your point, you're not going to necessarily lose people. You're going to lose people anyways, but it's not because of the technology. It's because of what I just said demographic wise. And for the people that remain, you don't want them to be doing work that can be done by technology. You want them to be doing the strategic work that only humans can do. That's how I would bounce off of your question. And yeah, to answer more directly is I try to pick my clients based on people who see that, who understand it, who are excited about technology. If you can do great things with it, right? If you're systematic about it, if you have a clear vision, but you can also spin your wheels and do stuff that isn't going to generate any results as well. So it's a tool. It's like marketing. It can be used for good or evil, right?
It's almost like, I really like the way you put a light on, it's almost like you're saying, which I agree with, change is somewhat, that change, that progress of technology, those things is actually inevitable. It's not a question of whether it's going to happen. It's a question of, is it going to happen to you? Or are you going to kind of make it happen?
Yep.
And so like you're saying, you're going to lose people either way, even if they're happy and as a clam, and time is what's going to make you lose them. Because at one point they're going to be too old and would prefer to retire. And so now the question is, what do you do with that time and what do you do with the resources that you have? And I think in general, that's a good perspective to procurement specifically, which obviously are meant to help with, you know, how do you get leverage out of your investment? But then operations in general is really about how do you leverage resources correctly.
All types, so, right?
Yeah, all types of it, exactly.
Like you talk about the folks, I would already be thinking about the folks that are set to retire in 5, 10, even 15 years. How do I make sure that the knowledge that they gain around the commodities and the context of our business, and how do I extract them from their head and like capture business rules, capture business processes, and then have that drive my processes and my applications in the back end. So like that's part of the reason I really resonate with the Tonkian product is it's something that allows you to do that to some extent, right? There's always ways to keep making it better. But to me, that's the whole name of the game is how can I stop relying on people who have everything in their heads, and they should have it in their heads anyways, right? I want to put new stuff in their heads, strategic stuff in their head, new analysis, new. And so how do we extract that knowledge? Yeah. We systemize it, we capture it, we drive our business and try to automate as much as possible with it, whether or not it's with Gen AI, right? Or because, you know, technology at the end of the day is they're all tools, and then we have to apply the correct one to the specific context and scenario. I'm definitely on the same wavelength, I think.
No, I think it's super helpful. Let me ask you maybe back on a personal level, what would be an advice that, you know, as you look through your background and growth and success that you've seen, what advice is kind of sticked with you that, you know, you would pay forward?
Two come to mind. The first one is integrity is everything, right? So your word, your, you know, the business's decisions that you take, the things that you do, like you should always have integrity as your North Star, and it will never fail you. And even if it means losing a contract, losing a job, getting in a tough situation, you'll always go to bed at night, you know, knowing that you stay true to your values, your principles, and nothing's worth selling those out. So that's the first one that sticks out to me, and that's more general. And then I said I had two, and now I'm forgetting the second one. That's always a trap of saying you got to get up to start, but it's just always learning, constantly learning. You're never done, never sit on your laurels, and there's always something new and exciting to learn from, right? If you feel like you're in a rut, it's probably just because you need to read a new book, or you need to meet someone new, or you need to go and meet the world, right? Instead of waiting for it to come.
Yeah, I think I couldn't agree more. I think together they are really balancing, you know, both progress and stable ground. So yeah, thank you so much. I think this has been super insightful and practical, so I appreciate that. If people want to continue nerd with you on those things, or, you know, work with you officially or unofficially to, you know, chat about it, what is the LinkedIn, I believe?
I'm fairly active on LinkedIn, post, you know, every week, day or so, unless I have the flu, which happened the last couple of weeks. And if you really are wanting to grow at the intersection of procurement and technology, come to newsletter.pureprocurement.ca, sign up to the free newsletter. Every week I put out something on that intersection. So last week I discussed autonomous sourcing and how you need to be thinking about that to be successful. There are some categories where it works, others where it doesn't. So really like the high level best practices or thing, you know, principles that you should keep in mind when looking at autonomous sourcing. So that's an example, but I try to cover, you know, sustainability, everything we discussed over the call, and how technology can help and how it can hinder as well, and how to think about it. So I'm really trying to push that digital literacy to our procurement professionals. And then if you're on the newsletter, you'll see everything else that happens, right? Whether it be fireside chat events with Procure Tech leaders, you know, how to work with me, that sort of thing, right? So I think the newsletter is definitely the best spot to contact me if you want access to my brain.
Amazing. Yeah. Check out Joel in both LinkedIn and the newsletter. I follow you and it's awesome content. So thank you again for joining me today, and I'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes.